Coming up on this episode of Inside Pop.
A new year, new pop culture. I'm going to quiz Ms. Amita Patel on some of the new TV, movies, and music being released this winter.
And I'm going to get every answer right.
Of course you are. Plus, we've got the big sale. It's all happening right now on Inside Pop.
Hey, y'all. I'm Amita Patel.
And I'm Sean David Johnson, and this is Inside Pop. We are your deep dive inside the world of popular culture.
If you're listening to us, wherever you're listening to us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, whatever cast it is, please subscribe to our podcast. And if you're on iTunes, if you'd love to just give us a small rating and review, we'd really appreciate it.
Thanks in advance. Okay, we are back. It's a new year, 2019. Happy New Year, everyone. This is our first episode of the new year. So excited to continue another trip around the sun with all of our listeners. And we're going to start out the year in a big way with an Inside Pop quiz. This is a segment typically where I take pleasure throwing questions at Amita, putting her under the harsh glare and seeing how she does under the stress. Yep. I enjoy doing that to her.
You really enjoy stressing me out, and I really don't like it, but I also am very competitive and I love games and quizzes. So bring it.
It's fun. We haven't done this in a while. It's been too long. So this is going to be
really long.
So the theme of this Inside Pop quiz is winter pop culture. So I'm going to quiz Amita on some upcoming pop culture being released this winter. And you might say, but is that fair, Sean? You're quizzing her on stuff that has yet to come out. And my response is, it's not fair, but it's fun.
All is not fair in Inside Pop quizzes, guys, just so you know.
Also, the point system is completely arbitrary, so keep that in mind. Okay. Amita Patel, are you ready for the first question?
Yes.
Okay. So, there's a little movie called Us, opening on March 15th. It's directed by Jordan Peele, who we know as the great director of Get Out.
Yes.
Amita Patel, for 5 points, name the two stars of this film.
Oh, I know this.
Okay.
Is it Winston Duke and Lupita Nyong'o?
You are correct. So that's 5 points, and I am literally keeping track. Okay.
Is it?
Okay. So for 5 more points, such an easy question. Can you name another movie Winston Duke and Lupita Nyong'o starred in?
The amazing, incredible Black Panther, people.
Oh, she got the softball question. Okay. Another Black Panther question. True or false, the characters Lupita and Winston play in Black Panther never speak to each other in the film?
Oh, that's a good one. It's reminding me that I still need to see it again because I just missed those characters. I'm going to say, there's just this one moment and I'm trying to figure out if they're there. I'm going to say true. They never speak to each other.
False.
Okay.
There's actually a scene when, this is when I'm like nerdy. Actually, there is a scene. Remember when they think T'Challa's dead? So Angela Bassett, Lupita Nyong'o, and his sister, they go to M'Baku.
Yeah.
And they're like, please take the magical thing to become Black Panther. And she holds out the thing to him. So they actually do have an interaction that scene.
I remember that scene and I was just like, was she in it? I couldn't remember. Okay, cool.
Okay.
I'm going to go watch it right now.
Yeah, please. It's so good. It's on Netflix. All right, so this is the last question. For 5 more points, name the Caucasian Emmy winner who co-stars with Lupita and Winston in Us. And it's a name that will excite you.
Oh, yeah. I read this in something about Elizabeth Moss.
Very good.
Yes.
Very, very good.
I am very excited and terrified to see this film.
Yeah. So Esta Fiesta, one of our good friends and listeners, tweeted this out right around the holidays. She wants to know if you're going to go see us. So can you respond to Esta right now on the
show? Of course. Hey, girl. I have decided, as Sean has predicted, that Us will probably be the one horror film I see in 2019.
Love it. Love it. Oh, maybe we should try to go with Esta. That would be fun.
Oh my God, that would really be fun. And I can't go see that alone. So yes, I need people.
We'll sit on either side of you.
Thank you, please.
So a couple of interesting things. My favorite little fact that I know so far about Us is that I love the trailer and can't wait to hear Amita scream during the movie. But I also love that I read that Jordan Peele gave Lupita Nyong'o homework. He's like, I want you to watch these 10 horror films so that we can speak the same language when we're on set. We can put the list of all 10 on the in our show notes, but it was everything from The Shining to It Follows to Dead Again. So this really great list of like 10 classic horror films. It's like grad school for horror films. And she watched all 10 of those films to prepare. So that's a interesting little tidbit.
I love that tidbit.
So Amita, you're doing well.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I hope the listeners are playing along. You've got 15 points so far.
Yay!
Okay, we're going to move into television now.
Okay.
True Detective is back on HBO for a third season, and it premieres Sunday, January 13th.
Yay!
And as we all know, it stars Mahershala Ali, a gift to humanity.
Preach.
For 5 points each, because they really haven't been publicized, can you name... You get 5 points for each co-star of Mahershala's you can name.
I saw it coming. I knew you were going to ask me who the other people are. And I do not really know. I, for some reason, want to say Colin Farrell, but that doesn't really make sense to me. No idea.
Well, Colin Farrell makes sense because he was sadly on the much maligned second season.
He was.
Yeah.
And Taylor Kitsch was as well, right?
Tim Riggins, yes.
Tim Riggins, yeah. That's Colin by his proper name. Right. Taylor Tim came into my brain first, but I was like, nah, that was season two and it was not great. So, yeah, I feel like I read this once and I can't remember these names anymore. No, I'm stumped. You got me.
Yeah, I feel bad for these co-stars because the trailers are all about Mahershala. But
and so are all the posters that about the show.
Yeah, it's like it's a one-man show. Doing something different this year. It's a one-man show. He's going to be phenomenal. It's
one true detective.
Right. Well, the co-stars are Stephen Dorff.
Oh yeah,
like the man who like keeps getting chances to like have comebacks. It's interesting to me. People keep doing that, and then a woman named Carmen Ejogo, who's done some interesting work. She was in Selma,
I love her.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful and talented. So I'm here for True Detective season 3.
Yes.
And my little bit of trivia about True Detective is that Nick Pizzolatto, who is the creator, Mahershala, believe it or not, was not his first choice.
Nick
imagined the lead being, hold on to your stockings, a white man.
Jesus, Nick, where are you?
Yeah.
What year are you living in?
So Mahershala had to convince him to cast, and he basically, Mahershala sent photos of his grandfather, who was a police officer. And he basically said, this is my grandfather. This is going to be a very personal role for me. And he convinced Nick Pizzolatto to cast.
Interesting, slightly frustrating, but I'm glad to know that the right choice was made.
Mahershala is always the right choice.
Obviously.
Bet on black. Okay. We're going to move into music now.
Oh, yeah.
I loved how I sang that. Okay. Backstreet Boys are back. I have
yes,
to say
they
that.
They are.
They are releasing a new album this winter. Amita Patel, you get 1 point for every Backstreet Boy you can name.
Oh, snap. Yeah, okay.
Go.
Sure. We've got Brian Littrell. I can do first and last names.
Oh, snap.
Kevin Richardson, Nick Carter, Howie Duroux, I think his last name is, and AJ McLean.
Wow, you swept that category.
What?
You so with so much confidence and cockiness. I love it.
I know my Backstreet Boys, and I actually really, really enjoy the lead single for their upcoming album. It's in my head right now also.
Would you go to a Backstreet Boys concert when they will probably most likely tour?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I clearly know them on a first and last name basis, so I should. It would be fun. It would definitely be fun. I think I have, you know, a few artists that I want to see this year, but I think that if I can get the tickets at a decent price, I would have a nice, fun Backstreet Boy night.
Well, who knows, Amita, if you score well enough on this quiz, maybe the grand prize is tickets to see the Backstreet Boys.
Okay, don't lie. Don't even tease me, okay?
We're going to start a Kickstarter so and listeners can donate money for you to see Backstreet Boys.
She knows them by first and last name. She must go see them.
I'm donating $5. Okay. Oh, my little tidbit of information. The album is called DNA, and it's out January 25th. That's not super interesting, but it's
amazing.
It's factual.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Amita will be sleeping out in front of Tower Records on January 24th to be the first to buy it because it's the 90s again.
Exactly. There's no Tower Records, unfortunately. Sorry, Sean, to disappoint you.
And you ain't sleeping out in front of a record store.
Nah. Next.
Okay, next. Okay, you're so cocky now. I love it. 5 points. Amita has a total of 20 points. We're moving back to television.
Oh, okay.
Brooklyn 999. Did I add an extra nine in there?
You, yes, you always do it too. It's hilarious.
Why would I do that? I didn't do that on purpose.
I know. It's not going to be your thing.
Yeah, it's my thing. Okay. Brooklyn 99 also returns this winter. Amita Patel, for 10 points, name the network that canceled Brooklyn Nine-Nine and also name the network that picked it up.
Oh, Fox canceled it and NBC picked it up.
So cocky. You got 10 points there.
Whoop.
Amita Patel, you're doing so well. We're at our last question.
Oh my gosh.
And it's for 20 points.
Oh my God, it's all the marbles. Let's do it.
It's multiple choice.
Oh, okay, good. Then I feel okay with this one.
There is a certain reality show that is being rebooted this winter. For 20 points, is that show A, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, a show about women who were pregnant and didn't know about it?
Thank you for clarifying that one.
You are welcome.
Because it could have been men, right? Okay, sorry.
Which they probably wouldn't know. They were pregnant. So, yeah, this is a great show from the early aughts. Women tell the stories of how they didn't know they were pregnant. It's a problematic show. So, A, is it I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant? Is it B, Temptation Island? Is it C, The Swan? Or is it D, none of the above, because honestly, would any producer actually want to bring back any of those shows? That's D. So I'll repeat this for 20 points. Which reality show is getting a reboot this year? A, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. Obviously a show that I loved back in the day. B, Temptation Island. C, The Swan. D, come on, are you kidding? None of the above.
I happened to see a commercial for this and was like, really? We're doing this again? It is B, Temptation Island.
You are correct. And Temptation Island is coming back on USA Network.
Yeah, cool. I will pass.
Amita, what's the last show you've watched on USA Network?
Oh, I've watched, I have been a loyalist to Suits, so that was the last show that I watched on USA
Network.
Love it.
Yeah. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, they do. I guess they do a couple of things. Like, yeah. What was Rizzoli and Isles on?
I think that was TNT.
TNT, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, USA has Mr. Robot also. So, I mean, they got some stuff.
Right on, right on.
Yeah.
Is Mr. Robot coming back or has that show ended?
Based on the article that, just so you all know, insider info, Sean and I were talking about Homecoming before we started recording this. And in the article that I read about, you know, the second season, I believe it said that he is ending, Sam Esmail is ending the Mr. Robot run with its forthcoming fourth season. So that'll be the end of Mr. Robot. And then they were all like, well, he'll have a lot more time to work on Homecoming season two.
And tangent, both Abita and I loved Homecoming season one.
We did.
Yeah. So good.
So good. So much so that we were like, we don't need a season two. And then I looked it up and I was like, but there's going to be one anyway. Right. So interesting to see what they do with it.
Yes. Yes. So Amita Patel, I'm going to say that this, if the rest of your year is like this Inside Pop quiz, you're going to have a really good year. I think this is your best performance ever on an Inside Pop quiz.
I think
you
so.
You received a total of 50 points.
What? What am I going to do with these 50 points? I have no idea, but I'm sorry to my Black Panther people and to True Detective folk. I did not score on those, but I'm going to be really well read in all of those things for the next time we do this.
So here is a question for you. I guess I'm continuing to pop quiz you. What are you really looking forward to this winter? Is there anything, music, TV, movies that you're just like you're chomping at the bit to see?
Oh, I wasn't prepared to answer this question, and so now I have to think about it. I mean, True Detective for sure was on my list of like, oh, I cannot wait for that. Well, it's the spring, really, not the winter. I'm going to break the little question you asked, and okay, obviously, there. Game of Thrones.
Oh my god! Like you, I think literally, not figuratively, literally, just made my heart beat a little bit faster. Oh. I can't wait.
I know, but we were talking about winter only, and that's what we should stick to.
But winter is coming, right?
Winter is coming. Yeah, and I'm completely blanking on what I might want to see in the winter, but there's a lot of stuff. I know there is.
Yeah, and listen, if the listeners know one thing about you, you are going to see a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hibernating. It's cold out near New York, and so I usually just hibernate and watch a lot of stuff.
Get the slanket no, over you now?
It's pretty classy. I don't have a slanket. I just have a normal throw on my couch, Sean. Okay?
Gotcha. Okay. Well, one thing I didn't quiz you on, and I'll say that I'm just super excited about this, although a little bit nervous. So there's a trilogy of books so good called The Passage, and
oh yeah, I've heard about the show.
It's the trilogy written by this great author Justin Cronin is about, basically it's about the end of the world, and the end of the world caused by a virus man-made that basically turns a lot of people into vampires. So that sounds a little hokey, whatever, but it's so well written. It's like, it really is literature. It's so good. And I read all three books. They were giant, and I just zoomed right through them. And so Fox has adapted it, and it's called The Passage, and it stars Mark Paul Gosselaar and this little girl who looks amazing. Now, the tricky thing is going to be, like, the first maybe 60 pages take place in modern day, and then there's this leap of 100 years. Mm-hmm. And then, like, in the next book or two, there's another leap of maybe another 200 years. So I don't know how they're going to do that. It almost seems like an unfilmable book, but they're going to try. So my fingers are crossed that maybe they just decide to reinvent it and not stick to the book. I know a lot of fans will be pissed and upset. It was a bestseller, so there are a lot of built-in fans. But I think this is a time to try to make it your own. But I'm very excited about that, cautiously.
Yeah, I'm excited because it's Mark Paul Gosselaar, and come on. I love Zach Morris.
I was going to ask you how you felt about him.
Okay. I do. Yeah. All right.
Good for you. I wonder if you'll watch it, though.
You know how I feel about zombies and things.
I know.
I think that if you had not said what it was about, I would have at least tried it out. But now
I ruined it.
Yeah, a little bit. But all right. We'll see how much my loyalty to Mark Paul Gosselaar comes into play.
It runs deep. All right. Well, thank you, Amita Patel, for indulging these questions. Thank you, listeners, for playing along, hopefully. Please tweet us and let us know how you did. Were these super easy? Were you stumped? What was your point tally? Did you beat Amita Patel? Let us know. At Pop Insiders. Okay.
Hi again. You can't beat me.
She's very competitive. All right, we are going to take a very short break, and we'll be back with more Inside Pop after these two short messages.
Hello, I'm Oliver Wong, DJ, scholar, and journalist.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes, music supervisor and stiletto devotee. And we host Heat Rocks, a podcast where we invite our favorite musicians, writers, and scholars to talk about the albums that have changed their lives.
Morgan, what exactly is a Heat Rock?
It's a record that's like hot fire, combustible.
Basically, just a really, really good album.
We've taken a deep dive into Nigerian funk from the 70s.
He kind of had like a bad reputation in town as just being like a sketchy dude. And he was just making music that for thousands of miles around him, he was the only person doing anything like that.
1980s teen comedy soundtracks.
This soundtrack always felt the same to me as like when I would find a great blazer at a thrift store that I could, I was like, oh, this is going to be me now.
We've talked about Prince, Boyz II Men, Kendrick Lamar, and everything in between. Heat Rocks, every Thursday here on Maximum Fun.
Since the dawn of time, screenwriters have taken months to craft their stories. But now, three Hollywood professionals shall attempt the impossible. Break a story in 1 hour.
That's right. Here on Storybreak, I, Freddie Wong,
Matt Arnold,
and Will Campos,
the creators behind award-winning shows like Video Game High School,
have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into an awesome movie.
Now, an awesome movie starts with an awesome title.
I chose The Billionaire's Marriage Valley.
Mine was Christmas Pregnant Paradise.
Okay, next we need a protagonist.
So I've heard Wario best described as libertarian Mario.
And of course, every great movie needs a stellar pitch.
In order to get to heaven, sometimes you gotta raise a little hell.
That's the tagline!
Check out Storybreak every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Inside Pop.
It is now time for The Big Sell. This is the segment in which Amita and I take turns recommending something from the world of pop culture to the other. The Big Sell went on a little holiday break while we did our best TV, music, and movie episodes. The Big Sell went on a little holiday excursion.
Yeah, they went to warmer weather, you know, yeah. got a little sun. It was nice.
The Big Sell is back and maybe is having a little bit of post-holiday malaise and seasonal affective disorder. No, the Big Sell is back and it's stronger than ever.
Oh, I love it. Well, the last time the Big Sell was in town and has returned, I had sold a video of four really awesome TV stars, Ellen Pompeo, Emma Roberts, Gina Rodriguez, and Gabrielle Union. And it was called The Big Television Debate by Net-a-Porter. And it was a really interesting conversation and very frank and honest between these four actresses about so many subjects, one of which of Ellen Pompeo really demanding to see diversity in front of and behind the camera on anything she works on. And then what I really grabbed from this conversation was Gina Rodriguez and Gabrielle Union and everybody talking about making sure they're getting equal pay and being paid fairly as women in Hollywood.
I loved this so much. Listeners, listen to me. If you haven't watched this, you should. We're going to put the link in the show notes again because it's been a while. So you can check it out and hopefully our conversation about it will intrigue you. Okay, so many things that I liked about this, Amita. Thank you, first of all, for big selling it.
Of course.
I loved the fact that they were so honest about being women working in the TV industry. Their talks about gender and race were so honest, so much so that I'm almost a little bit nervous for them because they really do, in an honest way, go after the power structure. They're critical. They talk about how white men profit more than anyone else. They talk about how the studios profit off of their talent and work. They talk about how they've been treated unfairly and how there are still systemic problems. So honest. But I'm like, oh God, don't ruin your careers with your honesty.
I know. And the thing is that I think that for at least Ellen, Gina, and Gabrielle, I think that they're established enough and well-known enough and top tier talent enough to be able to say what they want and hopefully not get penalized for it when it comes to future projects. Ellen Pompeo has been extremely vocal over the last couple of years in general about this and other things. So, and she's on like the biggest hit longer running TV shows that still rates in the top 10 since it started and going into like season 15 or 16. So like she's fine and she will be fine and she can say what she wants because what she's saying is true and backed up with, you know, a history of being, you know, frankly mistreated and undervalued.
Undervalued, yeah, it's amazing. One of my favorite conversations is when they talk about TV creators who don't have personal experience with people of color, writing for people of color. They basically say, if you, in your real life, if you don't have those connections, don't try to lift us up, right? And there's a moment, and Ellen Pompeo, who's my new hero, she tells the story about how she went to a fundraiser and she, a political event hosted by a friend, and she walks in and there is not a single person of color there. And she turned around and walked out and sent her friend a text and said, I love you, but, and explained the problem of that. And I love that story. I thought it was so amazing. I don't know. Have you ever felt like that? Like, have you ever shown up someplace and you're the only brown face?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was like most of my childhood. So like, you know, just growing up in Central Jersey and being in a not so diverse school system. So I'm used to it. And I think because that was all I knew growing up, mm-hmm. I didn't take note of it too much until the conversation about inclusion and representation and diversity started to really like fire up in the last few years in Hollywood. And we do this podcast where we discuss it so much. Mm-hmm. I then started to really take a look around me, whatever scenario I was in, and really take note if I was the only brown face, mm-hmm. if there were other brown and black faces. And for the most part, I am usually the one Indian American female when it comes to a lot of the productions I'm working on, because that's just what it is. There's not a lot of me in production. They're coming up, which I'm really, really happy about. But on the projects I've been working on, it's not really a lot of representation for Indian Americans. But yeah, I have definitely walked into a room and been like, oh, cool. Only one here.
right. And yeah, like I think it's, yeah, people of color are like, yeah, during work, you can go to a meeting and look around and not see any other faces or just one other face. And then, I don't know, it really made me think about how many like weddings I've gone to and of people I care about and like, and it's like, oh, I guess I'm your only black friend other than the waiters, right? I'm the only black person here. But listen, right. Like in some ways it's like people, in maybe some ways it's human nature, like you gravitate towards people like you, but you also hope that in New York, just living life in 2018, you experience other people. But so I don't want to be completely critical about that, but her story made me think a lot about that. And I just think she's amazing. She was so well-spoken and so articulate. And there was anger there. I felt it from her. I felt it from Gabrielle
100%.
Union.
100%. Yeah.
They've been in the game for a long time. So I think those two especially, I just felt real anger, but it was focused. And I think that's good, like to feel anger, admit it, own it, but focus it and use it.
Yeah. And I loved Gabrielle told a great story about how she was offered a role, but they weren't paying what she expected. Mm-hmm. And she turned it down. And then they offered it to a friend of hers and her friend called her. And then they discussed that. And she was like, don't take it. And she was just like, you know, like I think she was trying to help further the cause of really standing up for yourself. And then, you know, making sure that you know your worth, that you are the face. These women are actresses. They are the face. Like, they are hired to, you know, perform, but then they're also doing all the press. They're on the covers of magazines and all over everything. They should be compensated fairly because they're selling the tickets. Their talent, their face specifically, is selling the tickets.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form to whatever viewer sees and what they want, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. That's yeah. That also, I love that point, and I like the fact that they kind of begin the conversation by saying, "We know we're actresses. We know we don't have normal jobs. We know that people who aren't actresses, I should maybe just say actors, but people like that are, you know, women in other industries have an even harder time." So they owned that, and I thought that was good as well, because you know, you don't want to come across as like first world problem, spoiled, entitled diva.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to be like, oh, well, they only offered me $3 million for this, you know. Right. And I agree. I really admired the fact that they did want to acknowledge that. But I do think because they have that platform, because they have that status and are, you know, known worldwide, that they can speak out about this thing and hopefully influence people, regardless of the industry, to also speak out, to also stand up for themselves, regardless of what level they're at, whatever role they're in, and whatever, you know, industry they're in.
Amen. Amen. I mean, the listeners know that we're both in television and we are TV producers and, or in, well, TV and digital. And the question I have for you, Amita, is like kind of based, jumping off on that topic, obviously Me Too, the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement kind of started in the entertainment industry. So I just want to ask you as a woman, and please speak for all women, in TV, have you noticed any difference in, have you noticed any difference working this past year? Like, have you noticed any difference in how people interact with each other? Have you noticed any difference in like everything from like, I don't know, deal memos that you sign or things that are said or yeah. Have you noticed Time's Up, Me Too, affecting you directly in any way this past year?
That's a very good question. And I'm trying to think of a scenario based on what I've worked on this year and then places I've been. Maybe a little bit. A little bit. I think that sometimes there's maybe a little more thought. And I don't like to say this word because I don't want it to seem like, well, I don't know. Maybe some tiptoeing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the best word, but, you know, if there happens to be some type of conflict or even just something that may feel not right, I feel like people have been navigating things a little bit more consciously.
Okay.
And, you know, I started a new job and there was, you know, a full sexual harassment training, you know, informational PowerPoint with videos and everything. And so it's funny because I had a conversation with my superior about it because we just happened to discuss that we needed to finish this sexual harassment training. Everybody had to do it by the end of the year. And it was very long. And so we were just like, did you end up finishing it? And, you know, and then I was just like, I felt like the videos in there were kind of problematic. And then we had a really good, honest conversation about it and like what was lacking in what they were doing. They were very overt, like, you know, a male boss is rubbing a woman's shoulders and saying like, let's go get a drink and talk about this at my place. We're like, okay, like that's obviously uncomfortable.
Right,
that's
right.
Obviously inappropriate. I think what this Me Too movement and Time's Up and everything is like trying to make us realize is that we need to be more conscious about those little nuances, about those little things that can feel uncomfortable, but you may not know, regardless if you're male or female, saying it to somebody else. So if you just say, I like those pants, that's fine, but I like those pants on you could be misconstrued and be like, wait a minute, I don't feel comfortable when you say that to me. Those are the things that should be in these trainings so that people know you may feel like you're saying something friendly, but it could also make somebody feel uncomfortable.
Oh, God, I agree 100%. I think that's such a good point because, yeah, the obvious stuff. Actually, some people need to hear the obvious stuff, right? Like there are some boneheads or maybe just not people who are not emotionally intelligent who need the, like the obvious things. But yeah, it's the subtle things. And I think it's important. Like I found myself doing this this year, and I think it was a positive thing. You know, I think I'm super progressive and in touch with my feelings and everyone else's feelings. I'll toot my horn about that. But I did stop and say, but Sean, as great as you think you are, maybe you have room to grow too. And so I did find myself, because I think when you, in TV, and probably a lot of industries, like you get very comfortable with people, you become friends with people. For example, this podcast.
Hey there.
But hi. But I found myself taking a hesitation before I complimented women or even men, right? So like even as a gay man, I stopped complimenting women as much on their looks. And then I was like, oh, yeah, but maybe I also shouldn't compliment other men on their looks either. But that's such a good point. Like, I like those pants, which I will say I will definitely covet lots of clothing of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, but your ass looks great in those pants. No, I'll never say that.
Right. And like nobody, I mean, no, I don't think you would say that. And yeah. I don't think like a lot of people would say that.
Right.
And maybe sometimes like friendly girl to girl, we might say that to each other. I will say that. I've said it to my relatives. But I think that's even just, and I don't think in a workplace somebody would think that that was appropriate, but if just you said, you look great in those pants, there is a little bit of an extra innuendo there. And that may not be okay. And those are those things that I think maybe people aren't as aware of.
Yeah. And maybe to tie it back to this great conversation between these great actors, I would say that so watching something like this made me think about it, made me think about being more sensitive. It definitely helped. Yeah, it's empathy. It's information. I just think this thing is so great. I'm going to give it 4 stars. Let's start the year off strong with a 4-star Big Cell review.
Yay! Happy New Year to me. I love it. I mean, regardless of if it was my Big Cell or yours, it doesn't matter. It's a win because it's an amazing conversation. And I'm so happy that you loved it so much.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I did. Thank you so much for Big Selling it.
Of course. I'm so curious to see what you're going to follow this up with for your Big Cell, the first of 2019.
Ooh, lots of pressure.
Yep,
so
I'm
much pressure.
It on.
Yep. All right, I'm not going to
crack.
It
better be good.
Yeah, I'm not going to crack.
Knock it out of the park. 4 stars worthy.
So I had some singles that I wanted to big sell to you that came out over the holidays, but I'm not going to big sell music. I'm going to big sell something similar, but I know you love this series, so this is a little bit of a – this is actually a big softball. This is really my so unsubtle attempt, if unsubtle is a word, to get 4 stars from you.
Okay.
Why am I saying that?
For those of you who may not know the Big Sell or may not have followed the Big Sell since its inception 3 years ago – sometimes, and we don't obviously outwardly say it like Sean just did, we will give a softball. We do. You know, like last year when I said, hey, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is putting out Hamill drops. That was a softball.
Right,
the man
exactly.
loves Hamilton. I know he's going to love it. So it happens, but it's no matter what, it's sharing really great pop culture with each other and with all of you. So throw that softball, please.
And you know what I also, I mean, because we're two people, we, you know, if you notice, we don't really talk about stuff that we dislike, right? Like, there are plenty of haters out there to do that for us. We really only like talking about stuff that's great and that reaches some ideal. So I hate when I have to give one of Amita's Big Cells low stars.
I know, me too.
It pains me. But I've got to be honest.
Yes.
Here we go. My big sell for my first big sell for 2019. So there's this amazing series that Variety magazine does where they have two actors interview each other. Do you know the series, Amita?
I totally know the series and I love it.
It's so good. And it's always done around Oscar campaign time. And the pairings are so cool and so unique. Sometimes it's like, ooh, those two people. And then sometimes it's like, as in, oh, I never even imagined those two people existing in the same universe. And then sometimes it's, oh, I love that you put these two people together. And so my big sell to you is someone I mentioned earlier in the show. He was part of the Inside Pop quiz.
Mm-hmm.
Mahershala Ali and John David Washington speaking with each other. Okay, so I'm inspired by basically your big sell, which is these four amazing women speaking to each other. And I am big selling this to you for a few reasons. A, I wanted to start your year off with a big thirst trap. So enjoy. You better increase full screen. What do you do when you're watching something on YouTube? Full screen.
Full screen.
Yeah. So A, thirst trap for you, 2019. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
B, I'll get a little bit more in depth, more substantive. It's an amazing conversation because I've seen some of these where one of the actors is really enjoying answering questions about themselves and isn't that good about asking questions to the other actor, right? Like stereotypical narcissistic actor. But these two have obviously, like, they researched and they'd seen each other's work and they respected each other. And it's such an easy conversation more than an interview. They ask each other questions, but they talk and they comment and they go on tangents. And C, I know that Amita Patel loves award season. She loves award shows. She loves the Oscar campaigning. It's like a super long holiday for her that lasts for about 2.5 months. And so I just wanted to help you enjoy this time of year.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so excited to see this. I believe I had big sold one of these. I'm not sure if it was during our big sell challenge or just to you, but I did big sell this Actors on Actors one with Kerry Washington and Aziz Ansari way a while ago.
Ooh, back in the day.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you're bringing this series back because I do love it and I have not kept up with it. So I'm excited.
It's so good. They talk about so much great stuff. You know, one little tidbit, a little teaser. Mahershala Ali talks about being interviewed and, you know, doing interview after interview after interview when he's campaigning for Oscars and awards. And he says that about 40% of his interviews are about race, which he knows it's important. He's representing, but kind of like, you know, he says, you know, white actors never have to talk about being white actors. And they just have a really good open on discussion about the craft, about race, about being part of a dynasty, right? Being Denzel's son, working with Spike Lee, working with other directors, just so much good conversation. So I hope you enjoy Variety's Actor on Actor with Mahershala Ali and John David Washington.
Thank you. I cannot wait to listen to it or watch it. It's watching it. Sorry. Full screen watching.
You better not just listen to it.
What was I thinking? Well, that is it for us. Oh, this one flew by, but it was really fun.
Yes.
Oh, but the fun continues, guys. Stay in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us at Pop Insiders and like us on Facebook and head over to our official website, InsidePopPodcast.com, to subscribe to the podcast, find out more about us, and listen to old episodes.
There's one other place you can find us. We are part of the Maximum Fun Network. So if you head to MaximumFun.org, you'll find us there with alongside a lot of other really cool podcasts about comedy and culture. We are part of the growing empire of Maximum Fun, and we continue to be honored and happy to be part of that network.
Yes. And coming up in the next few weeks, we have some really great pop culture interviews. Obviously, you know, we always want to try to speak to people who are creating pop culture in all different roles. And we will be speaking to the production designer of Fargo. Can't wait for that conversation. And in a series that I didn't even think was a series, but we have a great track record of speaking to female directors in film and television, and I'm excited to bring another female director onto the show as well.
So excited for all that. Thanks again for listening. You maniacs, you blew it up. Ah, damn you. God damn you all to hell.
That last one's great.
Thanks.
I have no idea what it is, but that's amazing.
Planet of the Apes. Ah! It's Charlton Heston, and he's on the beach, and the Statue of Liberty is half in the sand, and he realizes, oh, wait, I haven't traveled through space. I traveled forward in time. And he's yelling at, you know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.